Hey guys, I just want to pop on here real quick and give you guys a little update in regard to this week's episode. Like we've told you guys plenty of times before, we are amateurs at this whole podcasting thing and we're learning as we're going, so we really appreciate you guys bearing with us. With all that to be said, this week's episodes, we did have some technical difficulties with our microphones, so unfortunately the quality of the sound is not super great. However, we obviously still want to put out these recordings for you guys. This is for chapter 6 and a deep dive about Violet and her sparring career and just the evolution of her sparring. So we really hope you guys are still willing to listen to those as we take on another week of this fourth wing adventure. Thanks so much.
Hey guys, it's Lauren.
And I'm Megan, and welcome back to the Scribe Squad Pod, a fourth wing book club.
Welcome back, you guys. We are starting with chapter 6 of Fourth Wing. So we're going to start out with Lauren reading the blurb.
Here we go. Okay, it is my opinion that of all the signet powers writers provide, mending is the most precious, but we cannot allow ourselves to become complacent when in the company of such a signet, for menders are rare and the wounded are not. And that comes from Major Frederick's Modern Guide for Healers.
So if you guys need a little recap where we stop, Violet has just gotten her first opportunity to spar. Imogen, who is a rebellion daughter, is who she's sparring with. And the last thing we heard before the chapter ended was a snap, which she was confident that was her arm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's how it ends. It says that it was her arm.
Yeah.
So we know Violet's arm is broken, and that's where this picks up.
Yes, it does. So it starts out, you're immediately introduced to Dane. He is carrying Violet to the healer quadrant, which they say is really close to, and we've talked about this in a deep dive, but it's very close to the writer quadrant. I think for me, this shows that how much Dane cares about Violet, but almost to a fault.
Yes, they actually, one of the nurse gets smart with him at one point and says, if this was any other first year, you would have already left.
Exactly.
And I think that it does show, but again, as the chapter goes on, it is caring. Mm-hmm. It is caring in his own way, but it's like watching the overprotective boyfriend that comes off as just kind of too much.
Yeah, I agree.
Because his immediate reaction to her breaking her arm is, oh, this is a way for her to get out.
Oh, yeah. And he says that, and Violet, and we'll get to this point, but Violet is on like painkillers essentially. Yes. And she's like finally realizing what he's saying, and she gets mad because she's like, if you try and take me back, my mom's going to be mad. She's just going to drag me back. Like, quit trying to get me out.
Well, and let's be honest at this point. Violet doesn't want to leave.
No, exactly.
And that's the one thing that doesn't matter what your perspective is on why she's here or how she's going to do or any of that. She wants to be there.
Yeah.
And that's what I wish. That is, I think, the biggest barrier is we feel like Dane and Violet have this disconnect of understanding in a different way than I think we'll have conversations about Zayden and her having a different understanding. And I think everyone wants what's best for Violet,
right?
But no one's listening to Violet.
Right.
So he's running in, showing about how much he cares about her. She's definitely in pain, but it talks about how she's so used to it. And again, going back to chapter one where Lilith said, you know, she faces more pain in a day than you guys have ever. And if any, so again, we know she's had this fragility to her, and it just,
but it almost plays in her favor because she's so used to it. She says she builds these mental walls to break down and like differentiate pain versus reality. And she says she just basically blocks away the pain so that it's not on the forefront of her mind so she can like get through this situation.
But she says it's not working.
Yeah.
She's like, it's not working this time. And
this time's a little different.
You find out Dane ends up saying she broke her arm and dislocated her shoulder. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty severe injuries.
Right.
So, okay, you walk in and the first person we meet is actually a healer. Mm-hmm. So healers are not a part of the writer's quadrant.
Correct.
They are their own quadrant. Mm-hmm. Menders are part of the writer's quadrant, and mending is their signet. Healers and menders are not the same at all, but sometimes they, like, you see them a lot together.
Correct. Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the points that I want to make clear, because that's one of the stumbling blocks. Mm-hmm. So menders, okay, I'm going to use my old kindergarten teaching ways. Mender starts with an M, like magic. So menders need the magic, and healers just all around healing, right? Yeah. So they have some potions, they have other things, right. But menders, it's their actual magic. Right. Anyways.
And we're introduced to Winifred.
Yes.
In the healer quadrant. And she is a healer. And she, as soon as she sees that it's Violet, she immediately recognizes her.
Because yes.
She's like, I've been mending or healing Violet for the past 5 years. She's been here so often. And she's actually the one who points out to Dane, like you said, hey, if this were any other first year, you wouldn't be here. And she like assesses Violet's injuries. And she's like, we need to call Nolan. And Nolan is the mender.
Yes.
In the healer quadrant.
Nolan is a character that you find out has a background. He's been mending Violet for years. I think mm-hmm. it's 5 years, yeah. Right?
Yes. Since they've been at Bitskaya.
So you, again, get this idea that, hey, she's had this happen a lot. And Dane is against calling Nolan. Mm-hmm. Nothing personal against Nolan, but he doesn't want a mender to come because right. he wants Violet to stay injured as an excuse to leave.
Right.
And I think Dane's actually making some good points here. And this is where, like, so he's basically like, no other first year would get mended.
Right, right.
And he's right.
Yep.
However, this is where being a Soaring Gale is a positive mm-hmm. and where like her relationships, I actually don't know where I land on how I yeah. feel like this resolved.
Well, and I think at the end of the day, the only resolution that it comes to is Winifred basically says, if Nolan knows that she's here and he wasn't called, then you're going to have to be the one that puts up with him. So we are going to call Nolan. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, I agree. I can see both sides of this, but because Violet has such a relationship with Winifred and Nolan, she ends up getting mended.
I also think Winifred is this like potentially pretty funny character, because she's also like looking off the beginning and she's like, oh, like another first year. Like yeah. she's kind of talking to herself but like talking to Dane as well. And I don't know. I think that I want to see more of Winifred. I don't know how big of a character she's going to end up being, because of course the menders have this magic and we're looking at them, right. But I didn't notice her as much the first time, yeah. But now I'm like,
she's a little Winifred.
Lady. Yeah.
A little girl.
So this is when they first bring up what menders truly are capable of doing. And if you listen to our deep dive, you know that menders are very rare, and it is extremely, it's just a power that people need mm-hmm. because like even at the blurb says like they need, there's right. always more injured than there is people who can help.
Right. And it's such a rare signet that when one comes along, they really have to cherish that specific person because they need more menders out there.
Which is why, and she's brought this up, like Brennan's death was hard, not only on her family, but because he was a mender, right. he was a big part of like that's why he was so big.
Right.
And that's kind of what Mira and Violet are kind of coming up against. I mean, being the first one to go through is like, not only was Brennan just a good, like people loved him, he came through and got one of the rarest signets you could yeah, have.
Exactly.
So it's no wonder people are just in awe of him
right.
and his memory.
Exactly.
So we touched on this, but we're going to talk about exactly what a mender is.
Yes. So obviously they are very rare, and they have the power to fix, restore, and return anything to its original state. And that's not just in regard to the body. That's in regard to anything that's broken, any physical thing that is broken. So whether it be a bridge or some cloth or whatever the case may be. And they specifically say it brings it back to its original state. So they have, that's why they're so important, but they mainly use them from what we've seen in like medical situations so far.
I think that probably the body is the hardest one,
yeah.
which is probably why we see it so much, because mm-hmm. like I can like, yes, I feel like mending a bridge would be hard, but it doesn't take, there's like, I mean, it's foundation versus mm-hmm. like bones and muscle and right. all of this. So like, I do think there's some intricacies when yeah. it comes to mending.
I also just had a random thought, but I wonder if they use the menders to, you know how when the dragons come into Best Guys and they like land on the perch?
Yes.
I wonder if they use
like them. Afterwards they just all like, all right, let's mend this again.
Let's put this back together.
They just have like three menders on, like waiting, watching it crush every time.
Yeah.
And you find out a lot more about menders throughout not only this novel, but I think Iron Flame teaches you a lot about menders. So if you want to rush through it and get to Iron Flame, that is.
Yes.
So again, it touches on like Dane's like, hey, we're not getting Nolan. Like that is not who we're getting. Mm-hmm. And she comes back and says, hey, you're going to have to be the one that answers. Basically, it's her job to do what, I mean, he's a doctor, she's a nurse, not in the sense that like they're ranked against each other, but like he is the main one responsible for that ward, and she's not going to look at him and not tell him the general's daughter came in.
We also find out that Winifred and Nolan are married, so they're married, so she's like, I'm not putting up with him. Yes. Even though that's my husband, so
I forget about that. I like in my head, no one has a relationship with anyone.
I know.
Sometimes I even forget about Lilith, but then I don't because people throw it in her face.
Yeah. Yep.
So like Lauren said, Winifred gives her some medicine, which I feel like is more like a potion.
Yeah, it's like a potion, but I attribute it to like a little bit of morphine.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
like something liquid.
She like starts coming, like Dane helps her take the medicine, and like she starts feeling better when she's like coming to them having this conversation.
Right.
So the pain was so severe, she kind of like blacked out.
Yeah.
So she actually like, she's like, you know, I think she alludes to the fact she doesn't know how much time has passed, she's hurt. She's hearing them having this conversation.
Yeah, and they're like in the middle of a conversation. So clearly some time has passed.
So they go get Nolan.
Yeah. Well, and also they talk about too, how she comes into the conversation about how this happened, and Violet says, well, Imogen is the one who did this to me, and she's like, honestly, I don't blame her. Mm-hmm. Like, she's a rebellion child, I'm a Soringel, so like, yeah, this sucks, but I don't blame her for taking it hard on me.
And this is the first time, right? I think this is the first time in the book that we get this fact.
Yes.
So Nolan ends up sharing this fact, and as a reader, this is just something to consume. Mm-hmm. He says that he thinks it's crazy that they force the kids of the rebellion to go into the Rider Quadrant.
Mm-hmm. And it's the first time we're really hearing about the other side of this, mm-hmm. and that people have a different opinion about why these kids are here.
So just to refresh, at 20 years old, you can choose to go to Bazgaith War College, but you do not have to. We know that from Marie's sister, who chose to just have a family.
Exactly.
The Rider's Quadrant has been, until this point, as expressed as like you have to volunteer to do it. Except now we are finding out that this whole group of kids did not volunteer, that they are forced to go.
They're forced to go. And Nolan even says, we don't even make the conscripted people, which are the drafted people, essentially, that even they don't go to the Rider's Quadrant. You have to volunteer to go into this quadrant.
And basically, they are saying, like, Nolan's belief, like, his view is, like, the kids shouldn't have to suffer in the honor of their parents.
Right.
And he also says that she shouldn't have to suffer for her mother.
Right, exactly.
So he has like this equality view of like, your mm-hmm. mother's your mother, and you should, which is interesting because he's literally healing her because of who her mother is, and or mending her. But yeah.
Yeah. And he also says his whole final input on it is obviously the writers or the rebellious kids shouldn't have to do this. And you, Violet, you also shouldn't have to do it, because at the end of the day, General Soringel betrayed the great. Or she defeated the great betrayer. So that should have been it.
Yes.
But it's not. Now it's this.
And they introduce Zayden's father's name in this chapter, which is Finn.
Yeah.
Finn Rider.
I think it's Ryerson.
Ryerson. You're right. I
say
don't
Ryerson. But
do not trust me to pronounce anything. Brennan and Brendan. And
you've seen our new dad.
Yes. I have struggled with names, and that's okay.
That's fine.
So Violet ends up asking Nolan to mentor, which is the part where I'm like, okay, if Violet's like, hey, I'm good, I want to get mended, but you also, as a reader, at least for myself, I'm going to say that we all know that this can't keep happening.
Right.
That exactly. is definitely the vibe that they're setting up, that, hey, she yeah. can get mended this time.
And but... even Violet says that. She says she asked him to mend her, but she was like, but just this once, because I don't want to, A, feel like a favorite, but yeah. also I don't want to keep being seen as weak either. So... she's like, okay, you can mend me a little bit.
Yeah, and just like mending light, you know, like
a light mend.
Just a little light mend. And then Dane is like taking on some of this responsibility, which is, again, I think a character flaw of his in this moment, because like Lilith sent her there. Violet is choosing to stay.
First years get hurt.
Yeah, there's like, not one part of this that is any of Dane's fault.
Right.
So again, a little pick-me-ish, if you ask me. A little pick-me boy. But yeah, and that's, oh, actually, I was wrong. I thought it was Winnie that pointed out that he would have left, but it's Nolan.
I think Winnie talks about it at first.
Okay.
But then I think Nolan reiterates.
And it. Also, I don't think she goes by Winnie. I think that I
just, call just like Winnie. Calling her Winnie.
Just like our girl Winifred. We like to call her Winnie sometimes. I do. I love the name Winnie, short for Winifred. So yeah.
So basically he mends her, and then it kind of jumps to her after
yes.
the healing. But it does say, hey, Nolan says, I'm going to mend you, but you're still going to be sore. You need to keep this wrapped. You need to keep it up. Like, it does heal her back to, again, her original state, but it doesn't mean that
there's no pain.
Exactly. Yeah. Or a little bit of needing to rest it.
Because at the end of the day, like, fixing a broken bone is fine, but like, I mean, it's going to hurt. Your bones were literally, I mean, think about it. Like, I don't know if there are any mothers out there, if you've had a C-section, they literally remove your organs.
All of them.
And then they put them back in, speaking from experience. It doesn't hurt, but it feels weird when you're done with it, because your organs are literally sliding back into place.
Oh my gosh, I didn't think about that.
Oh yeah. So for
I haven't had a C-section.
Yeah. But. So like you can feel your organs kind of shifting sometimes. It is not bad, but it's just, you probably went through something similar with just your belly going down,
yeah,
like some of it. So it's like the body does have this healing capability,
right.
but it's not like perfect.
I whenever you said that about bones, I think about the Harry Potter, whenever he like tries to mend his arm back, and
yes, like, and it's just like jello,
and then he has to drink that stuff, and the lady's like, what, you think healing bones is easy? You think it's
oh no, she gets even faster. She's like, you think healing bones are easy? Growing bones are hard.
Yeah,
she's like, that's you got to grow these bones back, sir. So yeah, so it kind of flashes back, and she is in the barracks.
Yes.
And she is at her bunk, and Rhi runs up to her, mm-hmm. and Rhi actually is like, hey, I'm excellent at sparring. I can train you. I need help though, and I need you to tutor me.
Yes. Yeah. And they had talked about this a little bit mm-hmm. previously. They had all agreed to kind of help each other out, but now I think Rhi is realizing that Violet's really not good at sparring, and so she's like, all right, we gotta
yeah
we gotta
well and Violet time. Has this great advantage, and this
oh,
is
yeah.
the first time you get to see this mutually beneficial it doesn't all have to be just fighting,
right.
It can be, we can have this kind of together.
Yeah.
So as she's in the barracks, she notices a little something left for her,
a little sprinkle of something.
Yeah.
And so she sees something on her what I assume was her bunk. And she realizes that it's actually a note from Mira. And flashing back to what we talked about previously, you cannot have any communication with the outside mm-hmm. world in your first year. So the fact that Mira has gotten this into Violet speaks volumes mm-hmm. of not only Mira, but just also, I think, a little bit of the Soringel like pull, and just Mira in general's pull, because she is great at who she is. She's an awesome writer.
I also think it's important to point out how she got
yes,
it in, because she trusted a scribe.
Yeah.
She said, I bribed a scribe to get this to you. Not I paid off a writer, not I threatened a writer, but I bribed a scribe, which never asked this question to myself. But as I read this today, I said, who was the scribe?
Ooh.
Because in my head, I have a guess.
Same, but.
But like, you don't, they would never get confirmation of who did this.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll come out eventually. But it also speaks a lot to who Mira trusts.
I agree.
Because, so Navarian tradition is that, because this is Navarian tradition, not just like the whole, it's not the whole continent.
For what?
What happens after death.
No, it's everybody.
It is everyone. Okay. Cause I know that she said it.
Ray talks about it too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when someone passes away, you burn everything they had, which is like kind of like a Viking funeral. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you've heard her say this about her father, but she got to keep
the folklore.
Book. Yeah. And then now she has found out that Brennan has left her something. Well, not her, but Mira. Yeah. And that's what you find out.
Yeah. So Mira basically leaves her a note that says, I was so glad that I didn't see your name on the death toll today. That makes me feel a lot better. Here's something that Brennan provided me in my first year, and I want you to have it too. And going back to the whole burning things, Violet hasn't seen Brennan, obviously, mm-hmm. in 5 years. He's been dead. And she, like, immediately gets emotional because, you know, she even said to Reese, because Reese across her, she was like, I can't believe this is still here. We burned everything after he died. And Reese says, we don't always burn everything either. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes you have to keep things. Like, that's just a sentimental thing. So she's astounded that it's even here. Mm-hmm. But also, I think it takes her to re and be like, oh, okay, this is somewhat normal to not follow these customs completely.
Oh, good point. Like, yeah. Hey, outside of the walls, it's okay. Well, and I feel like, again, as a general, like Lilith was probably like, no, we follow right. this because which is good because right. if she's asking people to follow that, it is good that she herself is following that. Exactly. Regularly. Also just, I'm excited to see in the future where this comes from, mm-hmm. because we haven't like gotten too much information about a lot of their history and traditions.
Yes.
So the other part that while she trusts telling Ree, again, don't trust me with names.
Stop. Stop.
I don't know why you guys keep trusting me. While she does trust Ree to tell her what it is, she doesn't tell Ree exactly what it is.
Yes. I didn't even put two and two together, but you're right.
It might be hard for her to put into words, but I do think it shows you a level of intelligence that she like wants to build trust and she wants to have a good rapport, but not at the expense of her safety and not at the expense of Ree would have told anyone,
right.
but if anyone knew how valuable this journal is, because this is a guide to what's going to happen to her in the next few months.
Yes.
And not only did Brennan write her in there, now she has Mira's notes as well.
Exactly.
And that is just, I tell, like in our career, I tell people all the time, the one thing you cannot buy is experience. Mm-hmm. Like you can learn anything, but you can't like, if I have a great candidate and they just don't have experience, like I can't,
right,
make them have those experiences, right. And I think that's what's invaluable here in this moment.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think that I forgot what I was gonna say. I'm so sorry.
Well, I can go to the next point I was gonna make. Yeah. While you're thinking about that, also I want to say that I missed this the first time. It does speak to Mira and Violet that Mira stayed.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever really realized how big of a deal that was, that Mira stayed to make sure she was okay.
And just the fact that like you said, and she like made sure to read the death tolls and do all this. I mean, Mira at the end of the day, I think really does care for Violet. I just think that I don't have a sister, but I just think that sometimes sister relationships can be hard in general, but also in the environment in which they grew up, I think also kind of made it hard too. So it does speak a lot of volumes about Mira.
And I think that I'm going to speak to the note that he left and then we can go into kind of why this is going to, but the note was basically like, Violet's watching you, Mira, yeah. and she cannot watch you fall.
Yeah.
So, which is poetic because of course she watched Brennan fall,
yeah.
but he doesn't say she can't watch us fall. She says she can't watch you fall, Mira. Yeah. Mira, this is important for you to do, which I think Brennan knew his sister. Mm-hmm. Mira is, at the end of the day, going to perform for Violet. And I think that it does show you that Brennan knew Mira well. Right. And it just shows you, again, it alludes to this like love for Violet that I think doesn't always come off because we want to see it in a kind and maternal way. And what she's doing is much more secretive, and
maybe even too, Brennan realizes that Violet's relationship with her mom is not super great, so she needs a strong female to look up to too, and so maybe that's part of it too, is somebody like Mira that he knows is going to be this great person, this great writer, that his little sister needs somebody in her life like that.
So the biggest, I think, like where you get left off in this chapter with your brain spinning and wanting us to go ahead and jump into chapter 7 next week, because we're not going to skip anything, but wanted to, is Brennan, she starts reading through it and she starts looking at the sparring.
Yep.
She skips through and it's like, okay, so you've made it through parapet.
Yep.
And it's like talking about sparring, which Violet just sparks her interest.
Yeah. And she's, I think, cause she's nervous. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one thing she's not good at is sparring. So it tells her, like, he gives her advice. He tells her that, hey, these are not random matches. They are specifically pairing you up. And if you know where to look, you'll know who you're going to fight in the next match.
I think that we know this is setting up some critical information. The other thing I think that it was important to tell us is that any writer can challenge any writer, mm-hmm. but it doesn't happen like he's like, it's prearranged.
Right.
So I think that's important, because like in my head, when I first read that line, I was like, Jack's going to be the first one to challenge her, but it makes sense that there are people who decide on it together. It's not just like Jack gets to decide by himself.
And I think eventually it is, but I think that in the first few weeks of them just learning to spar, it is prearranged. But then after they've gotten through a certain amount of sparring matches, that's when people can challenge other people. I do know what I was going to say earlier. I think that this book also provides us context in the fact that, again, information matters.
Mm.
Information matters, and it can change your outcome, which again, I think leads back to the scribes. I mean, Brennan wrote all of this down to give to Mira, and now Violet has a hand up for something that is for brute strength.
Mm-hmm.
Well, more than that, you know, but specifically in this case, sparring, but that knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. And so with this knowledge, you could possibly do better.
As I say, not often enough, Team Scribe Squad.
Scribe Squad.
We are very adamant about it. Okay, well, if sparring interests you and if Brennan's journal interests you, we are actually going to deep dive. I know we said we were going to potentially do sparring last week. We're actually going to jump into it this week. We ended up touching on Brennan last week because he was going to get brought up.
Yes.
So tune in Thursday if you want to hear about how Violet uses this knowledge in her conquest through sparring. And tune in next Monday if you are going to join us for Chapter 7.
And again, thank you guys so much for listening. Please make sure that you rate our podcast wherever you guys listen to it. That helps us out a ton. We like to look at the analytics to see from you guys. Also, make sure to follow us on all of our social media platforms. We've been really updating our social media here. You can find us at Scribe Squad Pod throughout all platforms. Also, if you have anything you want us to touch base on, or if you have any questions, shoot us an email. Our email address is scribesquadpod@gmail.com. And we look forward to you guys listening next time.